Heavenly Father, as we've just been singing about your goodness, Lord, we thank you for everything that you give to us, every good and perfect gift. And Lord, we thank you for your word, for its power to speak into our lives and for its power to change our lives. We pray now, Lord, that you would come by your Spirit and that you would speak. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. So harvest obviously hasn't worked out quite as we had planned, but nonetheless, we're here, and we're here to celebrate that goodness that we've just been singing about. If I'm honest, I find harvest a little bit tricky, because I am of a generation which is so used to ordering your shopping online. You can go to Tesco's online, order a full shop, and not have to cross the threshold of your house and it can be delivered. Or I don't know if you've heard of a company called HelloFresh. Have any of you ever heard of this? Have any of you used it? Well, good. Karen Webb will give you a recommendation or not, perhaps, afterwards. HelloFresh is a company. You go on their website, you pick the meal that you want, right? There's a list of meals and you pick whatever meal you want for the week. Pick several of them. They literally weigh out the ingredients for you. Put it in a bag, put it in a box, and it's delivered to your house, right? You don't even have to weigh things out. It's nuts. But that's the generation that I'm part of, right? That's what we're used to, that online shopping, where even your food is weighed out for you. And as I kind of think about that, I don't have to think about how it's planted or how it's harvested, who had to do all that work. I don't have to think about how it's packaged. I don't have to think about who delivers it to the Tesco's or to HelloFresh. I don't have to think even about who delivered it to my house particularly well. The only thing we're interested in really is how does it taste and how much does it cost? And that means actually we have lost something of the meaning of harvest as it was kind of originally intended. We would have been given thanks for the farmers. We would have been given thanks to the people who brought in crops daily. But we are losing a little bit of that. We do want to give thanks to God for the abundance. It's a beautifully decorated church today, and we're reminded of the abundance of the harvest of fruit and vegetables. And even HelloFresh have to get their fruit and vegetables from somewhere. And we give thanks to God for that. But as we stop and give thanks, and as we think about these beautiful decorations, we want to think about a different kind of harvest. We want to think about a spiritual harvest this morning, and I think Galatians 6 is a really helpful passage to help us do that. Because it is about what grows, okay? It's about plants and fruit and vegetables and all of that. We've got to celebrate that. But let's think about this. The kingdom of God is not about getting into a club. The kingdom of God is not about us gathering here and just having a really good time together and singing songs. It's not about us sitting back. We're saved, so we can sit back and relax until God has a wee spot in heaven ready for us. The kingdom of God is about harvest. The kingdom of God is about a spiritual harvest, and we are living, the Bible tells us, we are living in the days where there's a spiritual harvest field, and God is calling us to labor. God is calling us to be part of that. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at two laws of harvest, two rules of harvest, and they tell us how harvest works, but we'll consider those in a spiritual capacity, and then we'll end with a kind of a question for each of us. So let's think about these laws first. The first law of harvest, and there's a couple of laws, I think there's about six or seven of them, kind of rules for farmers as they're harvesting. But this first one, whether you're a farmer, are there any farmers in the house today? Didn't think so. Any keen gardeners in the house today? Okay, a couple of keen gardeners, good. You'll know then that the first rule of harvest, of physical and spiritual, is this. You will reap what you sow. That's the first rule of harvest. The most basic rule, you reap what you sow. Whatever you put into the ground is what you'll get out of it. So if I sow carrot seeds, what will I get out of the ground? Carrots, very good. If I sow tomato seeds, what will I get? Great, you've got it already. And actually, do you know what? Our spiritual lives are no different to that. So let me ask you this. What are you sowing in your life? What seeds are you sowing in your life? Picture your life as two fields. One field is called flesh, And the other field is called spirit. And every day, all of us are given hundreds of chances to sow into those fields. And we get to choose whether we sow to the flesh or whether we sow to the spirit. And that's what Galatians talks about this morning, that passage that Joanne read for us, whether we sow to the flesh or the spirit. Because whatever field we sow to is this field that we will reap from. But every word that we speak, every step that we take, every conversation that we have, even our tiniest decisions will lead us in one direction or the other. And that means what we read, what we watch on TV, what we listen to on the radio, where we surf on the internet. It applies to our habits and our hobbies and our goals, our ambitions. It applies to the friends that we choose to hang out with. When we do that, we choose one field or another. The way that we treat our spouse or the way that we treat our co-workers. The way that we respond to people when we're mistreated. Our prayer life, our Bible reading notes, our financial giving, and our willingness to share Christ with other people. All of those decisions, whatever choice we make, either we sow to the flesh or we sow to the spirit, by whatever choice we make. And so life every day is a series of choices for all of us. Hundreds of choices in a day. And so we choose one of those fields, the flesh field or the spirit field. But if we think about that rule, that whatever we reap is what we will sow, then this rule also applies here. So we cannot sow to the flesh all day long and then wonder why our spiritual lives aren't growing. Listen to what John Stott has written on sowing to the flesh. These are pretty strong words. He says this, "To sow to the flesh is to pander to it, to cause it, cuddle and stroke it, instead of crucifying it. The seeds we sow are largely thoughts and deeds. Every time we allow our mind to harbour a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, or wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist. Every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up and praying. Every time we read pornographic literature. Every time we take a risk which strains our self-control, we are sowing, sowing, sowing to the flesh. Everything we do sows either to the flesh or to the spirit, and we will reap whatever we sow." We need to choose the right field. That's what we're told in Galatians. We need to choose wisely where we sow. And so the challenge is to choose the spirit every time. Choose the spirit over the flesh. If you want to reap God's blessings, you want to reap spiritual blessings, then we need to sow to the spirit. And Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 5, just the chapter before, he says this, that whenever we sow to the spirit, it yields fruit such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All good things. Sowing to the flesh, on the other hand, results in destructive consequences. Strife, jealousy, anger, dissensions, divisions, envy, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, and drunkenness. Now, which one of those lists would you like to describe your life? Which one of those would you most like to be the fruit of your life? We need to choose wisely where we sow. So let's make it our goal as individuals and as a church that we sow to the spirit. We don't default to the flesh. Because in that way we're going to produce fruit that lasts. We reap whatever we sow. The second rule of harvest is this. You reap in a different season. You reap in a different season. We have recently just booked our staff Christmas dinner. I'm already looking forward to it. I missed out on last year's because I was sick, so I'm determined. I'll be at this one. And Paula has sent the staff through the menu to look at and decide what we'll want to eat. And I noticed there's a wee line just under the mains. There's a little line that says, "All served with seasonal vegetables." It's interesting, actually, that that line's beginning to disappear off menus, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that? It doesn't say that very often, because we've lost our appreciation of what it means for something to be in season. We get used to having whatever we want, whenever we want it. And even if you do grow your own fruit or vegetables, we're not dependent on them. You're not dependent to feed your family on whatever grows in your garden. So if your onion harvest is particularly small this year, you just go to Tesco's and you buy some. We don't have to go without, and so we've lost that idea of what it means for something to be in season. We see seasonal foods, or what used to be seasonal foods, all year round. They're on demand. But here's the reality, that's not how it grows. We're just able to get them in from other parts of the world. That's not how harvesting works. A farmer can't harvest something. He can't harvest something that he's just planted the day before. There's a period. There's a period of time. There's a period of growth. There's a wait. There's a wait for things that have been planted in the ground. And it can be months before a crop is ready. Do you ever feel like your Christian life is like that? Do you ever feel like your Christian life is a slow burner? Maybe you've been praying for something for years. Maybe you're here today and you have been praying for something for years. You're thinking, God, is this ever going to happen? It could be months or years, even decades before you see God answer that prayer. And that's the reality of harvest. You'll reap today what you sowed last season. We can't pick up the things today that we just planted yesterday. And so that's an encouragement to us. Let's keep pressing in. That actually we might have to work hard now, but the harvest is coming. So let's keep pressing in now to the stuff God has for us as individuals and for us as a church family. You might not see the fruit of the labour today, but there will be a harvest. I don't know if any of you were here on Friday night. We had our community harvest service. I said to Sam afterwards, it's probably my favourite harvest service I've ever been to. It was just great. There was over 100 people here. And as you know, we invite our friends from Hill Hall to come up here and to be part of that. And Stuart Elliott, the football player, was the speaker. And it was just a really great night. But the band, Lisburn and Fusiliers, were here. And they presented two of their young members with what's now called the Cathedral Cup, a cup that we donated to them. And they presented these two young kids. And Johnny, who leads that band, said, you know, we're really thankful for the relationships. I don't know if 20 years ago those relationships would have been that strong. I don't know 20 years ago would they have been so willing to come here and to take part in harvest. Would they have wanted to be here? Would the guys from Resurgam wanted to have been here reading from the Bible? But that's a result. That's a harvest, if you like. We're reaping a harvest now of many, many years of sowing seeds down there. And there's more to be done. There's more seeds to be sown. So remember that you will reap in a different season. So be encouraged. Even if it's not happening right now, there will be a harvest. There's also a warning that comes along with that law. As well as an encouragement, there's a warning. Paul tells the Galatians very clearly in this passage. He says, God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. He cannot be fooled. He cannot be fooled about what we've planted. He cannot be fooled about what we've done in our lives. I heard a story about a farmer who was growing watermelons in his farm, and he had this watermelon patch, and he said to his son, look, these are growing really well, but please don't go in there because they're not ready yet. And when they're ready, then I'll take you in with me and we'll pick them out, but they're not ripe yet. So the boy agreed, and that was fine. And the farmer then had to go into town to do some business, and he left the boy alone on the farm, and the father went off and did whatever he needed to do for the day. And the boy went out to the watermelon patch, and he was kind of looking around thinking, well, that one looks quite ripe, and I just love watermelon. So he found one that he knew was pretty ripe, and he pulled it out of the patch, and he broke it, he cracked it on some rocks, and he began to eat it. And he knew he had disobeyed his father. He knew what he had done was wrong. But he hadn't been caught because his father wasn't there. So he enjoyed the watermelon. And a few weeks later, the father was out in the field next door, and he was bringing a cow up from the pasture. And he saw this strange thing on the other side of the fence, and he thought, what on earth is that? And he went to look over, and there was this little sprout of watermelons beginning to grow by some rocks. And he started to dig around, and he found the old rind of the watermelon with seeds sprouting out of it, and he knew what had happened. The boy had been caught out. He had disobeyed his father. After he had eaten his watermelon, he kind of chucked the seeds and the rind to the side, and they began to grow in the other field. And the father knew exactly what had happened. We are living in this culture of YOLO. Just, you only live once. Do whatever you like. Do whatever makes you happy now. Right in this moment, how do I feel? How do I get a hit now? The good news of the gospel, we live eternally if we believe in Jesus Christ. We'll live with him forever. And so Paul reminds us in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says this: we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Just like that farmer came back, one day Jesus will come back. And he will see the stuff that we have sown. He will see the seeds that we have planted. And we'll appear before God in eternity. And if we put our trust in Jesus Christ today, and we labor for him, and we're planting seeds for him, then we're told at the proper time we will reap a harvest. That's what Galatians says. We will reap a harvest. And so we get this spiritual harvest thing. We have to make a choice. Either we sow to the flesh or we sow to the spirit. And we get that there will be a harvest. There might not be a harvest right now, but there will be one day. We might see it on the earth here. We might see a harvest of what we do, but there'll be a harvest in eternity before God for everything that we have sown. So as we bear that in mind, let me ask you this question. What would you like your harvest to be? What would you like to reap? What do you want the fruit of your life to be? In 5 years' time or 10 years' time, what kind of harvest would you like to see in this church? What would you like to see happening here? What would you like to see us reaping in 10 years? Would you love to see this church packed out with families and people of all ages? Would you like to see young people coming to faith? Would you love to see people from Hill Hall community coming to faith, joining church? Those are the things that we would really love. Those are the things that are on our heart as a staff team. But we have to ask ourselves the question, what are we doing about it now? Because that's not going to happen in 10 years' time if we don't do anything about it now. What seeds are you sowing to see the things happen that you want to happen? Because here's the reality, if you're a Christian here today, then God calls you a laborer in his vineyard. He says that the world is as white as the snow, the harvest fields are out there. And you and I are called to labor with him. We are responsible for sowing seeds. And when you and I stand in eternity before God and we give an account for our lives, we're going to give an account for the harvest that's produced. And as I think about that, I don't want to be ashamed before God to say, God, actually, it just felt like it wasn't the right time to sow seeds there. To be honest, God, that was a really awkward conversation to have, and I didn't really want to bring Jesus up. So I just thought better if I didn't plant that seed on that particular day. I don't want to have that conversation with God. I want God to be pleased with what harvest comes out of my life. I really pray that God will be pleased with the harvest from this church. I really want God to look at the harvest field that we are, to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, to see the church built, to see a new church built in Hill Hall, to see a new community of faith planted down there because of the seeds that we have sown. So what is it you're planting now in this season of life? Are you sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit? And so harvest is this really good time to celebrate abundance and provision. But we need to consider the state of our hearts. We need to consider the seeds that we sow, the legacy that we will leave behind us, and the harvest that we will reap in eternity. And so I just want to say this to you. If you're a Christian here today, then you need to choose wisely what it is you sow. We are called to be laborers with the Lord for his harvest, because he's going to gather in a great harvest one day. And he allows us to be part of that. He allows us to be part of that now as we sow seeds here on the earth. So let's remember that we get to be part of that. Let's pray together. Lord of the harvest, we thank you that one day you will return to gather in your harvest. And Lord, thank you for every saved soul here this morning, that we will be in that harvest, that you will gather us in. Lord, we pray that now we would take seriously the responsibility that you've placed on us to sow seeds, to sow the good seeds of the gospel, to sow the seed of Jesus Christ into every life we come across. That we can sow seeds of building church and building community. So Lord, help us to do that. Help us in our lives to choose always to sow to the Spirit, not the flesh. But help us as a church to make this a priority, that we sow the seeds of the gospel into this city. So Lord, come and help us do that. May we be there in eternity as you gather in the harvest from the seeds that we have sown. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.